Sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Thus far the words of our text. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Christ of God. Amen. Well, it was very nice with that sermon hymn to hook Advent together with Lent, because it was an Advent hymn. So you see how the whole church year, flows together. And when we look at our text for today, it is the pinnacle of this particular reading and the reading of why it is a Lenten reason, because it speaks of what Jesus is going to do, what he was in fact born to do, which is to be the sacrifice for our sins. Jesus had, just before our text, he had predicted his death at the hands of sinful men. He was on the road to Jerusalem. His disciples were amazed that he was going there, because Jerusalem was the hotbed of opposition to his preaching and teaching, and they were a little bit worried about him. And everyone appeared to be expecting that some sort of confrontation was going to happen between the religious leaders and Jesus in Jerusalem. Okay, so you've got this whole scenario beginning to play out, and what's going on in people's minds and what they're thinking about. And Jesus had very bluntly told them that the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles will mock him, they will spit on him, they will flog him, they will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise again. Thing is, all of that part of it, it just doesn't seem to sink into them yet. So on one hand, they're expecting this confrontation, maybe even a deadly confrontation. On the other hand, when Jesus says, "I'm going to die," it's not sinking into what they're thinking at this point in time. So Jesus tells about his suffering and his death, and pretty much right after that, while they're still on the road, or whether or not they're on, sitting down, taking a rest break or something like that, don't know. But James and John, and if we read the other Gospels, their mother Salome comes up to make a request of Jesus. "Jesus, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Right? There's always, a red flag that goes up. Somebody asks you for something before they tell you what that something is. But Jesus says, "Well, what is it that you would ask of me?" Well, the trio here asks that when Jesus comes into his kingdom, and the mother did, and according to the other Gospels, the mother said this, that her two sons could hold positions of prime authority when Jesus comes into his kingdom, one to sit on his left and one to sit on his right. And Jesus says, basically, "That's not for me to grant." Okay. And then he asked them, "Are you going to be able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am?" And the men at this time did not know the future, obviously. They didn't know how this was all going to play out. "Well, yes, we can. Yes, we can." As history tells us, these two brothers ended up being the bookends of Jesus' disciples, of the apostles. James was the first martyr. He was put to death for his faith in Christ. John lived the longest, but was imprisoned in exile and went through a lot of other things for the sake of the gospel. So Jesus is telling them, "You're going to suffer for my sake." First one to die, and John the last. James the first to die, John the last to die of the apostles. But at this point, their conception of everything that's going on, even with their fear of Jesus going to Jerusalem, is that he's going to defeat his enemies and he's going to raise up an earthly kingdom of worldly power and glory. And so they're asking to sit on each side of his throne when that happens. Not so. It's not going to happen that way. And we all know the answer that Jesus gives. And when the other disciples catch wind of this, they are rightly put out and have their noses out of joint with the brothers. And Jesus, ever patient, is the one who calls them all together and begins to teach them on how the kingdom of God works. And he's going to tell them, "Look, it doesn't work according to worldly wisdom. It doesn't work according to worldly ways. My kingdom is going to work in a totally different way."
Human kingdoms work like this, he says. And this is just the nature of how they work. It's neither wicked nor great. It just is the way it is. And worldly kingdoms work like this. The powerful maintain, the way they maintain their power is that they ride on the backs of other people. That's how the world works. The worldly leaders maintain power on the backs of other people. And for good or ill, for good rulers and bad ones, and that's just how it plays out. So, in the worldly kingdoms, the pyramid is wide at the base and points up like this to one person in charge. And that's how worldly kingdoms work. Jesus flips this view upside down. He puts the point at the bottom and the base at the top. Okay? So is the point down here and the wide group is at the top. And what he's saying is saying the highest in the kingdom is the one who is serving everybody else. So Jesus instructs his followers on how the kingdom works because that's exactly how he himself works. The one serves the all, not the all serving the one. So Jesus tells the disciples, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And there, that's why this is a Lenten text, because it encapsulates the purpose and work of Jesus Christ in the sum and the substance of his kingdom. Now, it might be normal and valid in worldly kingdoms that power runs from the top down, but not so in his kingdom. He says, in the kingdom of God, and did you catch what Jesus says when he says that? He says, whoever. This is open to everybody. Right? He doesn't say the select few. He says, whoever. Greatness in the kingdom of God is open to all. No one is accepted. No one is pushed aside. Rather, everyone in the kingdom of God has this opportunity for greatness. In the world, the great ones, he says, sit on the backs of the lesser ones. In the kingdom of God, the great ones bear the lesser ones on their backs. In fact, to the great in Jesus' kingdom will bear and have the mind of a ready and willing servant. That's what it means to be great in the kingdom of God. So what is this servant? This servant is one, and we take this to heart, right? This servant is one who is intent on rendering service to others and not intent on telling everybody else how things should be done. Ready and willing to serve Christ's people combined, right? Ready and willing to serve Christ's people combined together with a choice to serve. Serve whether you get thanks or no thanks. It doesn't matter. So you've got these things combined together in the house of God and in the kingdom of God. Whoever must be first or would be first, Jesus says, must be the slave of all. That is really turning things on their head and upending things. The lowest and the humblest of all servants who actually slaves for others for the sake of Christ. That's what a Christian is aiming at. And here we see how hard this is and how patient Jesus is with all of us. Often, you know, when we want to serve, and I find this, maybe you find this, I find this in my own head, a lot of times we serve because we know it's what we ought to do, not necessarily because it's what we want to do. Right? But we know we ought to serve, so we put on the servant's garments, we put on the servant's shoes and the servant's gloves, and we serve others. Not bad, but, you know, sometimes we're serving despite the fact instead of because of the fact. Right? And what we see this big difference between ought to and want to is that how hard it is for us to subdue our old Adam, how hard it is to cover our old Adam up. Because our old Adam always wishes to bend others to our will, right? And have ourselves come out on top. Still, what Jesus says is absolutely true in his kingdom. Greatness is measured by the service and not by the power and the authority. And Jesus gives us the example in and of his own life. He is the Son of Man. Yes, a man, and yet at the exact same time, true God, the Son of God incarnate, God in the flesh, infinitely power, omnipotent. He is the Word of creation. He is the Lord over all. And what did he make a choice to do? Right? He who could have compelled all of humanity to be his slaves simply by a word, right? He chose to be the servant of all humans and to bear all humanity on His back. That is what He chose to do. The purpose of Jesus' life was not to receive or to take, but the purpose of His life was to give. What then is it? And you know the answer to this already, but what then is it that the Jesus of Nazareth will give? Right? It's already flashed into your head, right? But we're going to say this anyway. Okay, He will give His life. That's what He says, His life. And immediately think of that, we think of this right here. You know, Jesus is going to give His life as a ransom for many. Right? But let's also, when we say give His life, let's also think of everything that happened in between His conception and the words, "It is finished." Right? All of it, in between. Right? The Greek words are suke, His life. That, He is giving that which animates Himself, right? That is your life. Whatever this thing that makes you, you, this thing that gives you the living, breathing ability, the thing that animates you, the thing that flees to heaven at the moment of your death, Jesus is giving this. You know, that's what He says. I'm giving that for the sake of all humanity. Okay, that is the life, which is the price with which we were bought. He gave Himself over to deliver us from the domain of darkness. He gave Himself to deliver you from the domain of darkness. He gave Himself to redeem you from all lawlessness and make you a people for His own possession. He gave His life in ransom. One for the many, instead of the many trying to pay what it was clearly incapable of themselves to pay. One for all in their place. He is the payment of sin. His life is the price of the release of bondage, and by His death, reparations are made to God the Father. Jesus' life is given into death. The ransom is paid in blood. The death of Jesus effects this releasing of us and effects the redemption of many, all humanity. Okay. The ransom that is Christ, right? He is the ransom. The ransom that is paid for our guilt and our sin, which held us liable to the penalties that were due at the hands of God. Okay? The wages of sin is death, the gift of God, eternal life. Jesus paid the ransom. He paid the penalty. He paid the liability. He gives us eternal life. This is a liability which we couldn't pay, but Christ intervened willingly on our behalf. He paid for us, as we say in the explanation to the second article of the Creed, not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood and with His innocent suffering and death. The ransom is exchanged for the many. Jesus, the God-man, the incarnate Word of God, bears all humanity on His back, and He is the servant of all. This is what Jesus is saying. Jesus paid the price for all people. And as St. Paul would later write, in Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. In Christ we have obtained the promised inheritance until we take full possession of it to the praise of His glory. He who gave His life for the many then becomes our model for Christian service, so that we too might walk in love as Christ walked in love for us. And so the exhortation of Jesus Christ is to follow in His footsteps, shed worldly ambition, and partake instead of the greatness of the Son of Man. He gives His life as a ransom for many. And in this way, Jesus leads His disciples and we ourselves towards Holy Week, to Jerusalem and to Calvary, to be the greatest servant of all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And now may that peace, which passes all understanding, be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.